You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
What's going on, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. My name is Mark Borscht, and I'll be your host today. And in this show, I'm going to be discussing some of the similarities between poker and trading in an attempt to identify some insights or lessons that we as traders can learn from successful poker players. Now, if you guys know anything about us here at Trade Pro Academy, you'll know that we enjoy studying other disciplines outside of trading to see if there's any skills that are transferable back to trading to help us build our edge as traders. And poker just so happens to be one of those cases. Now, the idea for the episode actually came while I was playing poker with a couple of friends. You know, after a couple of hands, I realized that poker and trading aren't really that different. Sure, you know, the rules of the games are different, but at the end of the day, there is a lot of similarities if you're looking to find success as a poker player or you're looking to find success as a trader. And so that is how this episode kind of came to be. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, for those of you guys that aren't really familiar with the game of poker, you know, more specifically, I'm going to be mentioning the rules of Texas Hold'em poker. And, you know, kind of a brief summary is that it's a betting game. All right. You receive some cards and your cards have certain values based on the other cards on the table. Now, there are several different turns. There's the flop, there's the actual turn, and then there's the river card. And each one of those have, or rather gives you an opportunity to bet on the relative value of your hands compared to the hands of the other people at the table. So you guys should be able to see that, you know, poker is not so different from trading. Right. Whereas in poker, you've got a certain hand and you're betting based on what you believe the relative value to be. Similarly, in trading, you might have a certain setup. All right. You might have a certain trading setup. And based on whether the market is forming your setup based on the context, the conditions of the market, you might be betting against other people in the marketplace. And so this is kind of the similarity between the two. I think there's a lot that we can learn. And interestingly enough, some of the best candidates for Wall Street trading jobs back in the day just so happened to be professional poker players. And the reason for this is because these individuals really understood that if you manage risk accordingly and execute an edge with consistency, that you're not actually gambling. In fact, you're simply playing the odds. And wouldn't you believe this to hold true in trading, right? If you manage your risk accordingly in trading and you simply execute your edge with consistency, you're putting yourself in the best likelihood scenario to achieve profitability, right? And so when you look at the financial markets and you kind of compare it to a global game of poker, right? All the participants are seeing the same information worldwide. They're making bets on what they perceive to be relative value. And isn't that how the market works as well? Right. So I think that's an interesting point. I think there's a lot of interesting insights that we can learn from poker players and apply to trading. So let's have a look at some of the synergies between trading and poker. Now, the main one that I kind of wanted to bring up is obviously the idea of risk versus reward. Now, in the poker world, you start off the game with a pot or with a stack, all right? And a poker player has the option to make bets based on their hands, right? So if they have, say, pocket aces, that's they get dealt two aces before we get the initial flop, right? The fact that they have two aces means that they have a pair before the flop even comes down. So if you have, say, a pair of aces versus another player that might have a two and a five, your odds are better of winning that hand than they are. Granted, you don't know that they have a two and a five, but because you have a pair of aces, you know, that's generally considered a pretty strong pre-flop hand. You can start making smaller bets, right? And as the rest of the cards come out, as the turn comes out, that is the fourth card on the table, and then the final card is the river. Between each of those card turns, you have an option or an opportunity to bet, right? And the best poker players are the ones that risk it when they believe that they have a chance of success. Whereas the hobbyist, the person that, you know, bets on every single hand, they bet on each hand, they play each hand, they might get lucky from time to time, but at some point, somebody on the table is going to have a much better hand than them, and they're effectively going to get cleaned out. And this is kind of similar to the idea of trading, right? Trading, you have your own account, which you can kind of consider as the pot or the stack. And when a setup forms as part of your trading plan, you know that you have a relatively high odd or high chance of success. But if you're ill-disciplined, and you're just taking trades based on whatever looks good, you know, even if you are implementing proper risk management, you might survive for a little bit of time. But eventually, if you keep taking all the setups that are forming, you're going to get wiped out. And so the concept of risk versus reward is really, really big in poker as it is in trading, right? The professional poker player will know when to go all in. You know, they'll have an idea of who they're playing against, what their cards are, what the probability of the opponents at that table having better hand than them are, and they're going to bet accordingly, right? So it's a concept of going all in poker versus going in full size in trading, right? In trading, you might have a certain setup, let's call it an A-plus quality setup. If you see your A-plus quality setup, then you'll know, all right, my chance of success is higher than maybe that of a B or a B plus setup. So instead of going in, you know, half size or, you know, part size, you're going to go in full size to make sure that you take advantage of that move if it does occur. And this is really, really big concept between, or rather a synergy between trading and poker, is the idea of risk and risk management. So now that we've kind of covered that, another one of the synergies between trading and poker is that of patience. All right, patience, patience, patience. When you're playing poker, similarly to when you're playing or when you're trading, rather, you're going to be looking for the best hand. All right, one of the great things about poker and in trading is that you don't have to play if you don't feel that you have a chance of winning, right? So in poker, you can play and you can fold your cards until you get cards that you believe have a chance of winning. And the idea here is that you remain patient, you stay in the game long enough until you get that great hand, that hand that can, you know, build your pot size, build your stack. And similar to trading, like we kind of mentioned above, you're really waiting for the highest quality setups. So you don't really want to get involved in the markets just for the sake of action, but only when your edge is present. And, you know, great poker players and great traders are spending most of their time sitting on their hands and doing nothing, right? They're observing, they're analyzing, but at the end of the day, they're just sitting on their hands waiting to pounce on that opportunity that they feel has a high chance of success versus the risk that they're putting present. All right. So risk and patience, two of the synergies between poker and trading. And the third really, really big one between poker and between trading is that of self-control or self-awareness. And the reason why I say that is because anytime there's money on the line, emotions tend to ramp up. And in poker, if you're not self-aware, if you're letting emotions get the best of you, those emotions are going to start impacting your decision-making process. And very similarly in trading, you've got to be self-aware of those emotions, because you might have a plan in place. You might know what you have to do. But if emotions start creeping in and taking over the decision-making process, it's no longer an objective process based on an edge. It now becomes an emotional process. And that is where the problems start to come in. In both poker and trading, if you're swaying from one polarity to another, meaning you're swinging from, you know, complete anger, frustration, maybe you lost a hand, maybe you were betting on a hand that you thought had a good chance of success, and somebody on the table had a better hand and, you know, and won that pot from you, you might be swaying from that anger, that frustration, and then swaying off to maybe you won a good hand, maybe you made that money back, maybe now you're super enthusiastic, you're showing a lot of excitement. This is where you become vulnerable to going on tilt. And I'll explain what tilt means shortly, but you're vulnerable to giving into your emotions and taking decisions based on emotions and not processes. So ideally where you want to sit, this is where professional traders and professional poker players, how they approach their game is they want to stay in the middle of that, in the middle of that range, right? They don't want to be on one extreme or the other extreme. The optimal performance mindset, you get to be able to perform the best when you are neutral, when you're net neutral. You're not on one side of the extreme, you're not on the other side, you are sat right in the middle. That is the best way to get into flow. That is the best way to get into the performance mindset, and that's the best way to stay there, all right? And so those are some of the synergies between trading and poker. And just to summarize that again, those synergies are risk, patience, self-control, and or awareness. So now that we've kind of identified how trading and poker are similar, let's look at some of the things that traders can learn from professional poker players. Now, again, you guys know us, we like our lists, and I've got three things that I'm going to discuss here. All right. So the first one that we can learn, the first lesson that we can learn from professional poker players is that of disciplined money management. In order to win, one of the variables for that formula is disciplined money management. And so in poker, a player's main challenge is to stay in the game long enough to have the chances at winning some big pots. Now, to do this, they're going to have to manage their chips very stringently. And this does not mean that they're going to have to play defensively, because you've got to mix it up when you're playing poker. If you're playing defensively and you're only playing hands that are good, the other players at the table are going to take notice of that, and they're going to be able to use it against you. All right. So when I say stringent management of chips is paramount, it's not to say that you want to play defensively. It's to say that you want to, you know, place the small bets and keep yourself in the game until you can win some of the relatively larger pots, because that's where the games are won. Now, going all in can bring a big winning, but it can also get you a quick exit if things don't go your way. And so proper bet sizing is extremely important to stay in the game in the face of a streak of losing hands. All right. And I mentioned tilt before, and the concept of tilt in poker is just simply a state in which sheer frustration with the game takes over and distorts one's betting. Now, I'm sure you can see how this can be applied back to trading, right? In poker, if a player goes on tilt after each losing hand, they're overjoyed with winning hands and irritated with mucked hands. Mucked hands simply means folding the hands and not playing that round. Those poker players can be relatively easy to read and would be making decisions based on emotions instead of probabilities, right? They're swaying from one polarity to the other, from one extreme to the other, instead of staying in the middle where the performance happens, right? The goal in poker is to win the game. It's not to win the individual hand. And this translates beautifully to trading, because disciplined money management is one of the core concepts of a profitable trading strategy, right? Like in poker, you want to bet size appropriately, right? You want to bet size so that you can stay in the game even if you're wrong, right? The larger the bet you're going to make, ideally the stronger your hand. And the same remains true in trading, right? A trader's main job is to manage risk and to stay in the game, right? And to do that, how can they manage that? Well, they're going to want to cut their losers short and they're going to want to let their winners play out. But at the same time, they're going to have to manage their risk accordingly, right? If you're a trader, say with a $10,000 account, you don't want to be putting the full $10,000 in every single trade you take, because like in poker, sure, you might win a couple of trades, but at some point you're going to get wiped out. And so the concept of proper bet sizing and discipline, you know, in poker, it's called bankroll management. In trading, it's just simply money management. These are concepts that lead to success in both of these games, right? In both trading and in poker. So in trading, trading on tilt will basically arise of the expectations for a certain income. If a trader is not emotionally prepared for the possibility of losing, then they're going to get thrown off by losses. And by needing and expecting to win, you set yourselves up for tilt, for the tilt state, right? So money management, expectations, and keeping things objective is something that applies towards success in both poker and in trading, right? You've got to let the probabilities play out and accept that there's going to be winning and losing periods. Now, there's something called the Pareto principle, and it's something that I believe holds true in both of these fields, right? The Pareto principle simply states that a majority of your, I guess it depends on the industries, but the Pareto principle will say a majority of your results come from a small set of actions, right? So in the case of trading, it'd be something like 80% of your profits come from 20% of your trades. And similar in poker, 80% of your wins will likely come from 20% of your trades, or rather the hands that you play, right? So as it relates back to discipline money management, professional poker players will know to bet strong and add to their bets when they hold a strong hand. And similarly, traders will do the same thing, right? It's the concept of going in full size versus putting out feeler positions. If your setup has formed such that it's one of your A-plus setups, meaning that there are more things weighing towards the trade working out, pros for taking the trade versus cons of taking the trade. If you've got an A plus setup as a trader, that is one of the setups where you're going to want to go in full size to take advantage of it, because it's not every single day that you get the A plus setups. Oftentimes what we see is that, you know, traders will take the B setups, the C setups, maybe even the B plus setups. But by the time the A plus setup comes around, you know, they'll have wasted some of their mental capital and they'll have wasted some of their physical capital, you know, trying to take advantage of those lesser quality setups and leaving them without the full mental capital or the full position size allotment for when that A plus setup comes. So keeping discipline with the money management, knowing the proper bet size, right? In poker, there is somewhat of a formula. There's a number of formulas for proper bet sizing. And in trading, there is a general rule of thumb, meaning that you shouldn't really risk more than 1% to 2% of your account capital per any single trade. The idea here, both in poker and in trading, is that no single hand should have the ability to wipe you out, right? You want to be able to stay in the game long enough to hit those winners that are going to cover those losers and put you in the green. So the first thing that we can learn from professional poker players as traders is disciplined money management. Now, moving on to the second thing that we as traders can learn from professional poker players, and that is that being successful in poker requires a willingness to not play. Let me say that again. being successful in poker requires a willingness to not play. Now, this kind of builds on the previous point, right? The best poker players know when to hold them and when to fold them, right? They don't make bets when the odds aren't on their side, right? If a player has a poor hand, they can do what's effectively known as a muck, M-U-C-K, and it simply means folding and waiting to bet on a better hand. Now, to the amateur poker player, it's not fun to muck a hand, right? Because that means they're not getting to partake in the action. But to the professional poker player, mucking a hand simply means that they don't see the probabilities of that individual hand being good enough to risk some of their pot on, right? They know that if I don't have a good chance of winning with this hand, there is no reason that I should be betting some of my stack, some of my pot on it. And instead, I'm going to wait for a better hand. The good players, the best poker players, they know there are times to bet and times not to bet. They're going to be betting when the odds are in their favor and when they perceive weakness among the other players at the table, right? Similarly to what we mentioned earlier, if a poker player played every single hand that they were dealt, over time, the odds would catch up with them and they would lose their entire streak. You can't really win at poker until you master the art and the science of not playing. And I think this is a huge, huge lesson for traders, because a lot of the time, if you take a look back at your own trading journals, at your own results, you might see that a lot of the trades that you're taking shouldn't have been taken, right? A lot of the trades that we tend to take, and you know, I say we, generally categorizing traders, but this, you know, this kind of applies more directly to the newer traders, because the newer traders think that they have to be in the markets at all times in order to make money. And the issue with that line of thinking is that you don't, all right? Quite simply, you don't have to be in the markets at all time. But that's kind of the misconception that's out there, is that you have to be in the markets at all time to make money, right? If you're not in a trade, how can you make money? Like I said, the issue with that thinking is that it's from a place of inexperience, right? The experienced trader knows that making money is not the difficult part. The difficult part is to keep the money that you make. And to keep the money that you want to make, you have to take high quality trade setups, right? With that kind of experience, you know to wait out the market until the conditions are favorable for your trade setup, right? So newer traders will often look to jump in the markets, will get all flustered. You know, they have kind of that mindset that if I'm not trading, I'm not a trader. But the professionals will tell you that having no position and watching is still a position, right? So the requiring a willingness not to play is, you know, in my opinion, very, very important. I think this one single tip can help a lot of you guys out there, because you don't have to be in the markets at all times, right? In trading, you have the option to decide when to bet and when not to bet. And you can also decide how much to bet if you plan on doing so. And now, I don't like to use the term bet when it relates to trading, because that kind of puts it in a gambling terminology. So what I'm going to say is, in trading, you decide when to risk your capital or not to risk your capital. And to that point, you get to decide how much of your capital you're going to be risking if you plan to do so on the individual trades. You can't win at trading either until you master the art and the science of not trading, right? If you consider the prior market action as the cards that you've been dealt and the current market behaviors representing the new cards being revealed, you want to stand aside until those market conditions are aligned with that of your trading plan, right? If they don't reflect good opportunities as defined by your plan, you're going to want to stand aside, right? Knowing when to play and how to play aggressively are major elements of success in both of these professions, right? Consider this. If you only traded on the days when the odds were in your favor, how would your trading experience change? How would your results change? How many days would you muck, right? How many days would you fold because you didn't see the correct opportunities, right? And by having a willingness to not play is going to make you a better trader because you're going to be more patient to wait for the setups that are going to give you the highest opportunity of success. So in summary, number two here, the second thing that traders can learn from professional poker players is having a willingness to not play. Right? It doesn't mean you're not going to play ever. It simply means that you know what you're looking for and you only get in, you only play, you only get off that bench when the conditions are right. Right. Now, the final thing that we're going to take a look at here is the third thing we can learn from professional poker players. And that's the concept that winning requires knowing who you are up against. All right. And again, this is a little bit different between poker and in trading, because in poker, you can see directly who's in front of you. You know, if you're playing in a physical location, online poker is huge these days. So you can also be doing it in an online environment, but the concept still remains true. You need to know who you are up against, right? So in poker, the way that you're going to be betting is going to vary greatly based on who you're playing against, right? So if you're playing against locals, if you're playing against amateurs, you know, your hobbyists that just want to do it for the thrill, you're definitely going to be playing a different betting game than if you were playing the Masters against tournament professionals, right? You don't want to be using the same tactics against sharks that you would for their, you know, for their food, effectively, right? So successful poker players, they learn how to spot patterns and tells of the players that they're up against, and they use these tells and these patterns as consideration to making their bets. Right? In poker, you're always betting against what other people are thinking and trying to get into your opponent's heads. So a great example of this is actually a professional Canadian poker player by the name of Daniel Negreanu. I probably butchered the last name. But he's a great example because he is probably one of the best at being able to get into his opponent's heads and talking to them about the cards that they're holding. And there's been a couple of examples where, you know, he's been able to, I guess, use his experience and use his intuition, use his understanding of the table around him, of the people around him, to identify their tells, right? He's able to identify their tells, some of their patterns, and he does a really, really good job of talking to people about the actual cards that they're holding in front of them. And he gets into their heads that way. And effectively, once you get into the head of your opponent, you almost have control, right? Because you can better be able to tell whether they're bluffing or whether they might have a good hand. But knowing who you're up against is extremely, extremely important. And as traders, it could be a little bit more difficult because, like I said, we don't necessarily see who's in front of us, but the concept remains the same, right? As traders, you have to learn to understand the psychology of those that you're trading against. And this is best displayed visually on the charts, right? So when I say understanding who you're up against, when you're trading, you know that you're up against institutional money, you're up against retail traders, you're up against algos, et cetera. And what you want to be doing is you want to be able to identify, you know, when those players are at play and when they are trapped, right? Because if you can identify, let's say, for example, where retail traders would be getting trapped, and you can do that by seeing it on the charts. You can see it in the form of wicks. You can see it in the form of order flow. If you can identify when some of the players you're playing against with are trapped, that gives you a bit of an edge, doesn't it? Right? You're able to increase the probabilities of success because you're effectively looking to play when somebody else is trapped. All right. And so I would consider this equivalent to getting into the heads of your competitors, because now you're able to make better informed decisions, right? If you're at a key support level, the market breaks below it, but you're not seeing sustained selling. In fact, you're seeing aggressive buying happening. You've likely got some trapped short sellers in the market, and their buy stops are about to get run. So you know you've got an opportunity to get long, because some of the other people that you're up against have committed to the short side. And guess what? The market's not doing what they want it to do. So they are, in fact, in the red, or they're taking heat. And the only way to stop taking heat is to cover the position, right? And how do short sellers get out of their short positions? They got to buy the market back, right? And that's what fuels the short squeeze. So knowing who you're up against and identifying their patterns, their tells, whether it's in poker or in trading, will give you an edge in the markets, right? It's going to give you that positive expectancy. So those that are the best in predicting price action are the best at predicting people. And this is very similar with poker, right? Those that are the best in predicting the outcome of the hands are the best at predicting people, as was the example of Daniel Negreanu, right? The market is effectively social. Value is a collective social perception. So if you can identify where the majority of traders are getting trapped, you know, you're better able to make more informed decisions. And so poker players and traders, they need to have an edge and know what it is, but they also have to be able to use real-time judgment as to when to proceed with so odds. All right, guys. So in summary, the similarities between trading and poker are vast, right? I've been able to kind of condense it into three key synergies, that being risk, that being patience, and that of self-control and awareness. And finally, we identified the three things we can learn from professional poker players as traders, and that's the concept of discipline, money management, having a willingness to not play, which means knowing when the odds are in your favor, knowing when they're not, and being able to stay patient and wait for the odds to be in your favor to trade, right? Big concept there. And finally, that third concept is that winning requires knowing who you are up against. All right, knowing who you're up against, whether it's in poker or the markets, will help you make better informed decisions. If you can identify some of the patterns and the tells of these individuals, you're going to be in a better place to make those better informed decisions, you know, against them. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this one. As usual, it's a bit weird doing these things solo because, you know, both George and myself are pretty social creatures, but that's what we got for you for today's episode, Trade Pros. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Let me know in the comment section or by emailing us at podcast@TradePro Academy if you enjoyed this episode and what you guys want to hear more of us from. Or rather, what you guys want to hear from us going forward. So if you guys enjoy listening to this podcast, please take the time to leave a rating and review. We really, really rely on those. And until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.